to Psalm 96. I've been doing an exposition of Psalm 96. Sometimes I like to label the Psalms as I read them. And originally I labeled this Psalm in my Bible as the Mission Psalm. Spurgeon called it the Mission Hymn. But the more I studied it, I also believe that it's not just a mission psalm to spread the gospel throughout all the earth, but it also shows ultimately what God is going to do through that mission. There are going to be people saved all over the world, and there's going to be a day and a time when God is going to fulfill His purpose for this earth. And Jesus Christ is going to physically return to the earth and reign with His people for 1,000 years. So it's not just a mission psalm, it's also a millennial psalm that points us forward to the day when the whole earth will be completely, entirely under the righteous rule of Christ. And they'll be so willingly, because they're going to be saved people dwelling. But we'll get into that as we go along. We'll read, starting with verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." I believe that wherever the gospel is preached and people are saved, this verse is coming to fruition. There are people in every nation, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, every color of skin, every creed among men, every type of government set up by human beings. The gospel goes throughout the whole world. And when people are saved, they sing about it. Verse 2, "Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day." We got on to that last week. We're not only to sing, but we're to show forth, demonstrate, live like you're saved. Live like you've been delivered from the penalty of sin, and you're grateful that Christ died in your place, in your stead. Live like you're being delivered from the power of sin, so that it doesn't have the effect and the hold that it once had on you. You're being sanctified by the Word and by the Spirit. Live like you've been delivered, and you're looking forward to the day when you're going to be saved, delivered entirely from the very presence of sin in glorification. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesday nights, but every day. Demonstrate the joy of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, in the way that you live your life. This is what's missing in Christianity today. People are just going through the motions. They're just saying, I believe. Hey, who cares? Oh, man, we ought to be, if there's ever a people that ought to be joyful, abounding in the work of the Lord, it's us. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Notice that. It's His. Salvation belongs to God. He distributes it sovereignly as He will. I don't deserve it, but I'm thankful He intervened. And then it says, "Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Declare His excellency, His majesty, His honor, His dignity." And last week, I showed you who the expression of God's glory is in its fullness. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. when he was revealed as the Word in John chapter 1, who communicates God's will and salvation, it said, "And we beheld his glory." The Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a joy, what an honor to have the glory of God revealed to you in the person of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That ought to be transformative. That ought to change your life forever and ever and ever. And you should be declaring his glory among the heathen every day. So, well, I can't go to Africa. Listen, there are heathen at Walmart. There are heathen in Chesapeake. There's a lot of heathen in Michigan. believe me. Jim Harbaugh's up there. Preach the gospel to every creature, even to Michiganders. I shouldn't say that too loud. I'm going up there this week to preach a revival meeting. I'll probably be persecuted. Declare his glory among the heathen. They're everywhere. Anybody that does not know God, that does not know Jesus Christ, is someone who's in darkness. It has nothing to do with the color of a person's skin or whether they're a male or a female or a boy or a girl. It has to do with the fact that they do not have a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We're to declare his glory to everyone, no matter how much opposition we face. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. I wonder, have you talked lately about how wonderful God is? How great his works are? How amazing. When you see a beautiful sunset, do you attribute that beauty and glory to God? Do other people hear you say that? You know, it's pretty easy. Every day, you could witness to somebody. Say, I'm scared to. Everybody almost is going to ask you, how you doing today? Much better than I deserve by the grace of God. Boy, just that little blurb, that'll cause people to think, because most people don't hear even one word about God in a positive sense. In the world in which we live, rarely do you ever find anyone talking positively about God, his glory, his wonders, his creation, his salvation. That's where you and I come in. We need to make a positive difference in this world by declaring his glory wherever we go, and the glory of the gospel. Now, he gives us some reasons why we're to declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people. He says in verse 4, "For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." Now, this verse implies something. It implies that those that are saved, who are to declare his glory, it implies that they believe that God is great. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he is the Almighty? That there's nothing too hard for the Lord? That things that are impossible with men, all things are possible with God. How great is your God this morning? How big is the God that you worship? Is he able to do what Genesis 1 declared that he spoke this universe into existence? Do you believe that God has that kind of greatness and power that he can speak things into existence? I believe God's great. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. I believe he created everything you see. That it is a direct result of what you read in Genesis chapter 1. Declare his greatness. Yesterday I saw the tail end of an old movie. It's called Inherit the Wind. And it was originally a play in response to Joseph McCarthy exposing a lot of communism that had infiltrated a lot of places. Of course, they demonized McCarthy. Looking at things as they've progressed, I'm wondering if there wasn't a lot of communism prevalent. But the point was, they wanted to paint Christianity as anti-intellectual. And so the whole story was about the Scopes, what they called back in the 20s, the Scopes monkey trial, where in Tennessee, a man was arrested in this town for teaching evolution. And he was brought to trial and he was convicted. But they had the defense attorney to represent the guy that had been arrested, who was, if you remember, Darren Stevens. It wasn't his name, but it was Bewitched Husbands. he was the guy that got caught teaching it. And his defense attorney was Spencer Tracy. Point is this. The media manipulation was such, they had Spencer Tracy make Williams Jennings Bryan, who defended, who was the prosecuting attorney, and he was defending Christianity. They made his defense of Christianity look completely nonsensical. I mean, it was a complete rout. And I thought, this is way back in the 50s and the 60s, where this hatred for the creation account and the Word of God, it was prevalent then, and it's only grown more today. In fact, if you say you believe in a literal creation, you will be demonized by the world system. Now, my question to you is, are you going to declare that God is great? Great enough to defy human invention, human propaganda? Are you going to stand true that yes, God is the creator? It's a foundational truth in Scripture. I told my wife this morning that I believe one of the reasons why churches are so weak and so frail is because most of them deny the very first chapter of the Bible. And they just completely capitulate to this world system and the teaching of evolution. And I believe it's wrong. I believe it's dead wrong. And I believe at the heart of evolution is racism. I mean, you read the writings of Charles Darwin, who was really the main pusher of evolutionary thought. He was a racist. He believed that the Caucasian race was superior to all others and every other one was inferior. So how do you know that? Read The Descent of Man when you got 20 minutes. He believed that. I believe God's great. I believe that He created everything. God is great. Say, you really believe that God split the Red Sea and allowed the children of Israel to go over it, and it was dry, and they went over, and then the Egyptians were drowned as they chased after them? Yeah, I believe it, because it's recorded in God's Word. And I'll take God's Word over man's Word every single day of the year. God's Word. You see, I believe that God's so great, when He saw the wickedness of man, how great it was, and the thoughts and the intents of their heart was only evil continually, that God determined to judge the world with the greatest climate change event that's ever occurred, the flood, the worldwide flood. I don't believe it was a local flood like the Pope believes. The Pope came out this past week and said that the flood was all figurative, that it really, that it was just a local thing. I believe the Pope is entirely wrong. I believe, just like the book says, God ordered Noah to build an ark. And God's greatness was demonstrated when He came through with the promise that He made that He was going to judge the world. He did it. 8 people were saved. God is great. God's so great that He made a way of salvation for the poorest, the most wicked, the most ungodly, unholy of men and women and boys and girls through Jesus Christ. And He has made it so that the greatness of the message of the gospel has penetrated all four corners of the earth. Everywhere you go, the gospel is being preached. Now, it may not be received, but make no mistake about it, God's Word will never return unto Him void, because He's great, He's powerful. And if you'll just examine your life and your circumstances, you'll have to admit that God's been great in your life. Think of all the blessings that God has poured out on your life. How amazing is that? How often do you really say, Lord, thank You for being so great, for making such a difference in my life, for giving me the Word of God that I can read and grow and learn. Thank You, Lord, for changing my heart, for giving me grace, for changing my family. God is great. And we ought to declare His greatness. He's great in power. He's great in dominion. And then it says, He is to be feared above all gods. That means not just scared. It's talking about a real reverence and respect for the greatness, the glory, the power of God and His Word and His law. I wonder how many people really have a genuine respect for God and His greatness. And is it reflected in the way you live your life? That's what He's talking about here. That's part of showing forth His salvation from day to day. And the reason why we're to declare His greatness and why we're to declare His glory is because He's greater than all the gods and the idols of this world. He says in verse 5, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But by the way, there are a whole lot more idols in this world. There's only one true and living God. There's plenty of idols. It says, for all the gods of the nations are idols. In the Hebrew, the word idols literally means nothings. Verse 5, God's in the Hebrew uses a negative participle and literally means good for nothing, vanity. They're nothings. And I thought to myself, consider the things that men exalt, that men worship, people that they put on a pedestal. And in comparison to God, they're good for nothing. They're idols. They're nothings. God is to be feared, reverenced, respected above all the idols that men raise up. The idols of men are worthless, whether they're idols of wood or stone or pictures or statues or idols of flesh and blood, celebrities, politicians, sports figures are all being exalted and worshipped in our day and age. People hang on their every word and every action. People literally worship them. People worship education. So, now are you saying you're anti-education? No. I'm for right education. I'm for the kind of education that demonstrates that you believe in truth. That you have a standard of truth, of right and wrong, based on eternal truth. And that's why I don't believe in a lot of the new stuff that's come along. I've been working with my grandkids, and we have to abide by the local school district curriculum and the virtual thing. And I'm going to tell you something. You cannot believe nearly every subject there is evolutionary teaching, climate change teaching, critical race theory, where basically they're saying that everything that's wrong or ever will be wrong is because of white Europeans who brought that to America and have spread it throughout the world. I'm going to tell you something. This is why kids are going to college and why they hate America, why they hate Christianity, because it's being propagandized, indoctrinated into secular humanism that is anti-God. And really, a lot of it's racist. It's sad. And I'm glad that I have the ability to say to Gavin, you know that's wrong, don't you? Now, you got to answer it like it's right. We were studying something in science last week, and he said, Papa, get a load of this. They're saying that the world's 4.5 billion years old. What a fairy tale that is. That just warmed the cockles of my heart. When my grand said, that's crazy, man. And it is. I don't believe the world's 4.5 billion. It says, but the Lord made the heavens. I believe that. I'm going to believe it by the grace of God to my dying day. Say, but that's not what scientists say. Well, I'm here to tell you, if they deny God as the creator, they're wrong about that. Say, oh, you don't have their credentials. You don't have their degrees. You don't have their learning. I tell you what, the Bible says the wise men are ashamed and taken. They have rejected the word of the Lord. What wisdom is in them? Now, I'll tell you what evolutionary thought has brought about. A lot of racism, a lot of hatred, a lot of class warfare. It is a system of destruction and despair. I look at God's creation and I see His handiwork. I see His glory manifested. I don't see all the despair and destruction. I see God working. But you think about people that are exalted in our day. Popes, priests, preachers, politicians, people who have great wealth. They're all exalted, way above God. But you know what? None of those things will help you when you're in need. You ever thought about that? Those gods, those idols that you exalt, they're powerless to help you in your hour of need. They can't save your soul. They don't even care about the people that worship them, except for the money and the power and control that they're able to gain. What will any of those idols mean when you're dying? How will the Kardashians, how will that help you when you're on your dying deathbed? They're not going to help you a bit. But Jesus Christ, He saves sinners. Our God made the heavens, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. Trust Him. He is able to do what idols cannot do. God cares. God loves. God provides. God comforts. God strengthens. The one who stretched out the heavens can definitely take care of you. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I've experienced the truth of that verse. God did for me what I could never do. He brought me up out of the miry clay, out of the miry pit, and He established my goings. He saved me by His grace and changed my life. And as such, I am to declare His glory. Verse 6, another reason we're to declare His glory. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Honor, the majesty of the Lord, Jesus Christ, ought to be declared. Say, why do you always preach that? Because it's true. Because it's the message that people need more than any other message. That Jesus Christ, this is a saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That message is the single most important thing you'll ever hear. The honor, the glory, the majesty, the dignity of the person of Jesus Christ, His love for sinners, His death on the cross, His resurrection from the dead. He displays the glory of God. And that's why I've preached this ever since the day I was saved in November of 1980. I've preached this one simple, direct message. Jesus saves. He saves sinners. He ought to be declared. Because there's no one who's done more for poor, degraded, depraved sinners than Jesus. He says strength and honor, strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Applying this to today, as we gather as a body of believers, we're to admire the strength and beauty of our great Savior. I'm going to tell you something. If you're in a church that doesn't preach Christ, that doesn't preach the gospel as revealed in the Word of God, that doesn't exalt the truth of God's sovereignty, His power, His grace, His glory. You know what? You need to get out of a church that doesn't preach Christ. Because it's nonsense. If all you're doing is going to church for social acceptance, it's wrong. There ought to be strength and beauty, and Christ ought to be exalted when the man of God gets up to read the Word of God. He ought to preach Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. I know there's a lot more to the Bible than that, but that's the primary message. And God help the preacher and the churches who do not preach the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. See, we're to admire the strength and beauty of our great Savior. It's not seen in pomp or ceremony, but rather with the eye of faith, we behold the Lamb of God who died for us. We behold the glory of our King who has risen for us. We behold the power of our great High Priest who intercedes for us. We look for the blessed hope who is coming again for us. Behold and wonder. And I pray that every time we assemble, we come with hearts ready, prepared to worship the one true God as He is revealed in the Word of God. And that it can be said of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church that strength and beauty are in this sanctuary, where the saints of God are found singing the praises of God, where we are lifting up our hearts in praise and in prayer to the Almighty, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, with contrite hearts that are bowed before our sovereign God, depending entirely upon His grace, upon His wisdom, upon His power. Oh, that kind of strength would be found in this little flock, in this sanctuary where we gather to offer our worship to the Almighty. May strength and honor and beauty be in this place. And it's definitely not in the pews. We got some of the ugliest pews that I've ever seen. These old green, ugly pews. But you know what? They're paid for. They're paid for. But I don't think you come to this church building and this sanctuary because of how it looks. I hope you come here because the Lord has directed your heart. And you come here because we love this book and we love the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us if we ever stray from that. It's not about fancy clothes. I know I dress fancy every Sunday. Look at I got my suit. I got four suits and I got them written down. When I'm supposed to wear them every Sunday. I got it written down. And I know, I've been preaching here, this is year 28, you probably know the routine by now. Oh, it's the second Sunday, he's going to wear that stinking gray suit again. Well, you know what? You should never come to church to see what people are wearing. That's not why we gather here. We don't come to look at each other. We come to behold the Lamb of God. We come to rejoice in Him. He is the focus of our worship. Not men, but the Almighty. And all that we would stick to that until Jesus comes. Let's all stand.
What page, Josh?
39.
Page number 39.